It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Kirk. We sound funny today. I don't
know. It's just music.
Yeah, I think the music is up loud. We're kind of quiet in the background. In the background.
Yep, that defines you quiet.
All right, what's our show today? Fun fact.
Alaska Realty Today.
Thank you for
it's
that.
It's a real estate podcast, radio podcast.
Radio.
Yep.
Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a podcast. We've got to get on that.
Yeah.
I swear.
We have.
Well, I know.
We know what we need to get.
I know. Melissa's going to teach us. We're going to be on.
All right.
All right. So, fun fact.
So I had to look, we were negotiating a listing. So somebody brought a buyer and it was pretty good, but she was just wondering if she should hold out from, you know, what's the market like if we hold out for other offers. And so I did a little deep dive in Badger World North Pole, 3 bedrooms, and got her what we call a saturation rate, which is how many months worth of inventory there is on the market. So how many houses are sold a month that are 3 bedrooms at Badger River North Pole, how many are currently active, and there end up being 1 month worth of inventory. So it'd take 1 month if nobody else listed another 3-bedroom home in Badger River North Pole, 1 month worth of inventory, and it would sell. So balanced market's 4 months. Zero is a super seller's market, so it's a pretty strong seller's market for a 3-bedroom. And
yeah.
So that was my fun fact. I did just look up my area, which is – and your area, which is East Rural East Rural Fairbanks, and there are, I guess, how many active listings are in East Rural Fairbanks?
I'm going to say 10.
Yep, 14.
Okay.
I was surprised there's that little. There is.
I'm not, though. It up there, I feel like it hits pretty quick and goes pretty quick.
Yes.
Because it's a pretty, I need a new word, but I think there's certain areas that I feel like that's a area that, because it has acreage, if people are looking, they're looking to move, and it's not always the Ridge. So it's sometimes it's a little bit more affordable than Chena Ridge is, and you're getting almost a guarantee of 2 acres. So that's a nice amount of land. That seems to be what I normally get clients, since I seem to represent a lot of buyers. Buyers say they'd like an acre or two. That seems to be a manageable amount, and then that seems to be a desirable area. So, you know, because that's Steel Creek, that's Hagelbarger, that's the
Coal Mine
Fox
Trail. Bowl.
Yeah. So I
east side of Farmers
Loop. They don't last very long. There is a house up there, though, right now that I think Joel has the listing on that's down 2 roads from us. Ugh, it is stunning. And it has an Airbnb on the property. So it has a small house next to it. And I just was like, it checks almost every single box that I have ever had. But it's down. That
you
was
should
my
not
husband.
Be in this industry. I'm just surprised my you don't buy every
went,
house
I know,
that you see.
My husband went, it's down 2 roads. And I went, I don't care. I don't care. It's so cute. Everything about it is so adorable. And the land around it is cleared beautifully. And I swear I'm like, I could sell my house right now and jump into that house. It's just so perfect.
So the average days on market for the active ones that are those 14 that we talked about are 38 days.
Yeah.
So there were in the last 6 months, 33 have sold. So basically 5 a month. And so there's about 3 months worth of inventory on the MLS.
Yeah.
So still seller's market. But you need to really go bedroom by bedroom. So 2 bedrooms, let's see, there are 2 bedrooms, there's nothing. So
yeah.
It's obviously a seller's market, not 0 bedrooms. 3 bedrooms, there's 6 active. They're roughly, let's call it 3.5 sold. So there's about a little less than 2 months worth of inventory on the market. So again, strong seller's market. But that's why you got to look at it. You got to look narrow it down to your area, and then you got to narrow it down to the number of bedrooms. And then you look at the saturation rate. And that's, again, if how many are out there active, how many have sold per month for the last 3 months, 6 months, however you want to look at it. Get the monthly number of sales, and then that will tell you how many months worth of inventory for not to list anything else. And 4 months, National Association of Realtors considers that a balanced market, and we're usually seeing 0 to 2 months worth of inventory. For the stuff that sold, the average days on market was 29 days. And,
okay.
And you're in I's living here. Yeah. MLS area.
That doesn't shock me at all. So I was reading an article and I wanted to bring it up today because I really think it's a great rule of the 333. Just because I think right now I'm getting a lot of buyers that are reaching out and they're kind of, they want to buy, but they're not quite sure where they're at. Again, I cannot stress enough. Rule of thumb, by God, I wish they had a lender. So I have, I'm going to say I'm back up to about 75% have not yet reached out to a lender. If you are a lender and you would like to contact me and give me your information and tell me why I should recommend you, I would love that because I am constantly handing out lender referrals and telling clients to call a lender. And I'm going through that process with them because, again, as soon as they, you know, they want to see the house and I'm like, the odds of us going to see a house, even though we shouldn't go see a house, and I totally understand that. But sometimes they've never been through the process and I get it. They're totally excited. That house will be gone. That house is gone. They're also selecting houses that are already pending because they don't understand the process at all, which again, I think it's fantastic. They're getting a hold of a realtor that's going to walk the process through that or is going to walk through the process with them. But it's just shocking that they have not gotten a lender. But to talk about the 333 that I was reading about in this article that I liked is that it really talked about a flexible guideline for both home buyer and investing to prevent emotional purchases and protect your finances was 3 months of emergency savings. And I do have a client right now that has done that and is amazing, is over budgeting everything right now, is just like, I just want to make sure that, you know, everything is covered and I feel good about everything. But you really do want to save up because, again, you just don't know what could go wrong when you buy a house. And there are things that you do want to do. And things are expensive after you close, but sometimes I always tell clients to live in the house for a little while before you start doing any kind of renovation or you do anything.
I've heard you say that before.
Yes, because I just think that sometimes, I mean, it's the same. Like right now, I could easily blow out 5 walls in my house, but I'm trying to figure out how do we really live, what really functions for us before we do anything.
Well, you can do what we did and just light your house on fire, and then you could go ahead
and then go,
We blew out the mother-in-law apartment after the house fire downstairs, and then...
Is it now just a big living room?
It's a big living room. Okay. In the flood, we added a wall. And then the upstairs, we took out a bedroom and made one big master and a walk-in closet, and then we reconfigured the hallway.
Yeah. See, I go back and forth on that.
And move Ireland around.
I go back and forth because I think upstairs we definitely could blow out a wall and have this really beautiful master, except that it's a 4-bedroom right now, and I feel like that's the most desirable. So we still we
4-bedroom?
Yeah.
3-bedroom is most desirable.
Do you think so?
I know so. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, ranch across the country, including Fairbanks and
ranch.
North Pole.
Yes.
Our 3-2-2 ranches are...
Yeah,
the most desirable house.
We're a 3-story house
in the country.
So I'm like 3-story house with a 3-bedroom upstairs, and then we have a 1-bedroom downstairs that could be a mother-in-law if you finished it out that way. I'm kind of like, ugh. Yeah.
I think three bedrooms is the number one. 4 bedrooms is the number two.
Yeah. So I don't know.
2-bedroom probably next, then 5-bedroom.
And the only reason I've saved that bedroom is because I'm kind of like, I feel like people like that as an office.
How many bedrooms do you have?
4.
Yeah, I don't know that I would take that away.
Yeah. So but would I love a big master bedroom? Yes. I mean, it's big enough for 2 people, but part of me is like...
And dogs.
I just love space. So anyway, the 3 emergency months of savings, that's just always for your contingencies. Then it talks about having 3 months of mortgage reserves. Set aside an additional 3 months of mortgage payments. That's a cushion in case something, your income changes.
What's the first 3 months of
what? 3 months is emergency savings.
Oh, 3 months of what? In relation to your income, to the mortgage payment?
Yep.
To...
So that's just having 3 months. Yes. So they say to have 3 months of emergency savings. So that would be, to me, that would be your mortgage payment.
Okay.
But then also having 3 months of mortgage reserve. So that's, if something was to happen, you have 3 months of emergency. So that's like your boiler goes out, you go into that account. Then you have 3 months of, oh my gosh, I have to pay my mortgage. So that's a totally separate account.
Lost your job.
Yep. And that's so that you don't get nervous or get stressed out. in what you might have to do.
That's good.
And I think especially, I hate to bring up the electric company, with what is going on with the electric right now, I think we have to really be thinking about having these emergency funds. Because I think with gas, the price of gas right now, the price of electric right now, heating, everything is crazy.
Do we ever figure out what happened in December when people's rates went from like 200 to 700?
No. I mean, it's just nuts. It's nuts.
I mean, I didn't even have an issue. I don't even know if ours went up, but then I talked to one of my clients and they went up $500 a month. And yeah. It's just, it seems
everything
like it's all over the board. And
yes.
Nothing weird, nothing, I plugged something weird in or just.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I'm not intelligent in the why some people's went up and some people's didn't.
I don't know. And then they talk about comparing three properties. So visit three properties at least three times. So at least three similar properties or visit your top three choices three times.
Okay, you off the air, you told a story, and I've told this on the air before or on this podcast before, but my first home we ever bought, we went and saw it, and we knew we loved it. But we either looked at or drove by 75 more. And then we circled back to that one.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think we saw about 20 houses, but the house we fell in love with, we saw three times. And I'm so glad we did because, again, we had seen so many Dutters. There wasn't a lot on the market when we were looking because we were looking in November. And
the word's Dutters, right?
The word is Dutters. I mean, it was rough. It was rough what was out there. And again, we were looking for a little bit of acreage. So there was not a lot listed. And so we were just like, and I felt, I'll be honest, some things were really deceiving. And so I went in, I think, with some high expectations, like one had a stable and it said, I grew up with horses. I had horses. So I was like, oh my gosh, maybe this is something we want to do again. This is something that my husband and I had talked about. I went into that stable. I would not have put an animal in there. And they said it was a working stable, a working stall. It was terrifying.
I grew up with horses. And so I've seen what you're talking about where people.
Yeah. I mean, it was terrifying.
Boasted it as a stable. I'm like, no, you would not put live animal in there.
Things were dripping out of the, when I put on the lights, I just remember liquid coming out of the lighting. And I thought, how we're not going to get electrocuted and die in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be shocked. And I thought there's no way I would have plowed it all down.
Yeah.
I would never put an animal in there.
Yep.
So it was just, things were really disappointing. But on the third time of going into that house, even with, we had hired a realtor, which was very exciting. I wanted that experience, even though I was getting my license. But I wanted a different perspective. I didn't want to do it myself. I wanted that input. I also wanted to learn. And so I was like, I want to hire somebody. I want somebody to, you know, give me that experience. And I remember on the third time, we were going through and we were highlighting all the things we loved about the house. We were about to put in an offer. And then I remember looking at my husband and I said, where is the closet in the master? Like, I thought maybe I missed it, like it was in the wall or something. And then we went through the master. We realized there was no closet. We went into all the spare bedrooms, no closets. We went into the office, no closet. And I said,
were you in Louisiana?
Yeah. I said, there's not a single closet in this house whatsoever. And then even the realtor was like, yes, there is. And then we all went through the house thinking we had missed something. And then my husband has built stuff before, and I said, is there a way to even put a closet in? And there was no way without taking away something from the house that we could have even put a closet in. And then we really start. So that, I think, was a.
And just if I can interrupt, a house does not have to have a closet to make it a bedroom.
It's an egress window.
It has to have an egress window. Yep. It's been argued, and it always circles back to appraisers say, well, if you look at plantation homes in Louisiana, zero of those have closets. And so this goes back, you know,
what they actually
100,
had,
200
though,
years. So
here was a funny. So how they built the doors, they had lofted storage space above the doors. So you could have put storage containers above the doorways.
Huh.
So they had like a platform above all the doors.
We have that, but that's for decoration.
Right, but I thought, I can't put my stuff, like I'm going to put clothes in tubs and then get tubs out
and
every
get a ladder,
day.
Right? Yeah.
And I just went, this is insane.
No.
So then, you know, my husband was like, well, we could have dressers. But I went, oh my God, we would have so many dressers of things Because there wasn't even really where to put rods, like put up a closet rod to hang clothes. And it just, so that was the first. Then we started really looking, like picking it apart. The windows all needed to be replaced, and it had lots of windows because it was huge ceilings, open, airy, very beautiful. And then I just went, it just really got, it was a huge deterrent. So, and it was good because we really, I think what it really taught me as a realtor was I said to clients, sometimes we have to come back for the second time, or you need to tell me what we're really looking for. Because sometimes we get so excited by things that look clean, things we've kind of dreamed of, like especially if you've dreamed of maybe the island, or you've dreamed of the open concept house, or you've dreamed of the soaker tub, or, you know, maybe something that you've seen in a magazine and you never thought you could get in an Alaskan home. Or I've seen, I had one client that we, the outdoor space was so beautiful. It had a hot tub, it had a deck. It had stuff that they were just like, oh my gosh, this wasn't even on our wish list, that then they stopped seeing the rest of the things. And I said, wait a second. I want to sell a house, but I also don't want you to call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, why did you never point out that there was a junkyard right behind our house that we now are looking at every single day while we're in this hot tub relaxing? Or we told you several times that, you know, we walk our dog and we're walking our dog down the scariest road ever because we got so blown away by this house that whatever. So sometimes I just am like, or like I had one husband that was like, we've got to have a garage. We've got to have a garage. We've got to have a garage. The wife and him got so excited about the house. And I said, the garage was 300 square feet. And I said, I don't know if you can even park your car in here. And I'm okay with that if this is the house that you guys really, really want. But there's no room to do an attached garage. There's no room to do a detached garage. There's nowhere. So you guys are really, this is it. This is a storage space, right? And so I just said, the other house, while it checked almost every single box except for the tub, which they could replace the tub, but they loved the other house. But this one was like, had all the bells and whistles, but it, except for like two. And I just went, and it had the garage. And then they went, what are we doing? You know what I mean? It was like we needed to walk it back for a minute. We went and saw the other house again. And then they went, oh my God, you're right. So it was like we lost track of something for a minute. And then we went and saw the second house again. And then they re-fell in love with it. But it's like, you know, some things can really blow you away. And sometimes I will say this. It's kind of funny because I don't love white, tile white, granite, because it stains. You know, but it looks beautiful when you see it. It just looks very clean. It looks very fresh. But in my head, I'm like, all it takes is a dog. All it takes is pasta. All it takes is your, like my niece, I literally got my new car. I said to my niece, please be careful. She's putting on lipstick. Somehow in a parked car, she knocked her lipstick into my visor, rubbed lipstick right across the visor. And I go, seriously, God. In a parked car, brand new, just bought this 2 hours ago. And she goes, I don't know what happened. And I went, but that's what happens with, you know, clean stuff, kids, things. So, you know, you can't be mad. Anyway, we got a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynor returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week. Every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hey, Lisa.
She's not here. It's me. All right. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about the 333 rule, and there's a bunch of different ones. So another thing that they talked about in this article that I was looking at was like having a 3-mile rule. So this is for investors. Many investors suggest buying rental property within a 3-mile radius of your primary residence so you can easily manage and monitor them.
Yeah, of course, we also recommend professional management. There's so many things that can go wrong. Of course, we're biased because we have, we've had a property management company for 20 years, but we've seen so many things go wrong. I've had a client, and I think I've been talking about on the show, that we just closed on his duplex, but he had the right side skedaddle and quit paying him rent, and then it froze up the whole house because that's where the boiler was at, and it cost him just a bajillion dollars. And and self-managing, I mean, if you know what you're doing and you're comfortable with it, but I like the 3-mile rule. He was probably 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Being an absentee landlord is just crazy. Not a good idea. So I really do like that three mile rule.
Yes. So again, not that you can't be further, but that is like to start. I think that's a fantastic rule to look for something
just
close
to. Just keep getting your eyes on it.
Yep. And then they also encourage hold for 3 years. Plan to hold the property for at least 3 years to maximize long-term appreciation and tax benefits.
Yeah.
And so I think that's fantastic for people that come in, especially out of the lower 48 or going to be here in the military and are thinking, I want to buy property to invest in, but then they're only going to be here for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
You really need to think about holding on to it for 3 years for it to appreciate.
And we have a rent versus buy program where we plug and chug everything, where we try to be super conservative of, and then we'll give you the break even point. And every time I do it, it is roughly 3 years. But I use really low appreciation because appreciation should be icing on the cake. So we're really conservative the way we do it, but 3 years is usually a good number.
Yeah. And I think we're conservative on everything. So when things come out higher, it's always better. Because I do that even on closing. You know, you want to come out.
I do it for investors, my market analysis, everything.
Yeah. So the last three thing that they have is the 3-minute triage, which is quickly evaluating a property on 3 criteria: price relative to the median, rent to price ratio, and condition, to see if it warrants the 3 hours of deep due diligence. So that's really looking at the property, visiting the property, investing in the property, seeing what it would take, looking at, you know, actually going through all the paperwork, doing the homework on the actual property. So that's called the 3-minute triage. So I just thought these were just really
What's the deep dive? Say this three again.
Yep. So the 333 for investors is the three 3-minute triage, the 3-mile rule, and the hold for 3 years. But the deep.
But you said the rents versus the.
Yep. So you do
mortgage?
The price relative to median, rent to price ratio, and the condition of the actual home to see if it warrants 3 hours of deeper due diligence. So that's going through all of the rents. That's looking at the. Like doing a deeper dive on the property, looking at comps, you know what I mean? Like you're really going into all the paperwork, everything you can find out about that property, looking what it sold for in the past, seeing if you can find out any other history on it.
I did that for, that's the client that got a hold of me through Redfin and said, hey, I want to buy this house back. Do you think they'll sell it? And we just closed on it yesterday, actually. We
That's
just
awesome.
Sent them a letter and which you helped with. But we, that's what we did. We took a deep dive in that neighborhood. Right. The ones on post, those A-frames. And so we looked at all the, you know, the history of the rents, the what sold the last 5 years. And he asked me some really good questions. Ended up being an appraiser in the lower 48. So that was interesting. But yeah, we did a big deep dive on that. And it's going to be an investment for him. So it was pretty smart. And
well, it's the same. Like my client that is flipping right now, he got the report on how the house caught on fire. The fire damage from, he got the report from the fire company. He talked to neighbors to see what has gone on in the house. He's talked to the actual seller. I mean, he has done his due diligence. He's walked around outside. We have an engineer coming in. So I think there's a lot of, you know, when you're looking at investing in a property, you definitely want to make sure that you're doing as much of your due diligence. Like I have another client. He's not even looking to do a flip. He's just trying to find somewhere to buy. He talks to neighbors. He talks because he's looking at a condo. He definitely wants to make sure that he's getting a feel for their HOAs, how people feel about living in that community, what kind of response they get from the HOA itself, what it feels like to be a tenant there. So he does his history, his due diligence before we even go look at anything. So he is like, he A-games that. So the last thing that I was reading on, this one's called the 30-33 rule. And this one is strictly looking at the mathematics of what you can afford. And this one, they've done a lot of research on this. And this one says spend no more than 30% of your gross income on your monthly mortgage. And this one we've covered a lot before in the past.
30%?
Yes. Of your monthly mortgage.
I'm trying to remember if Ramsey's 25 or 30%. But yeah, that's about
it. And then this one says have 30% of the home's value saved in cash, 20% for down payment, 10% for reserves.
Hmm. So one more time with those numbers.
Yep. So this one is called the 30-30/3. Okay. So this is this rule. So this one is spend no more than 30% of your gross income on your monthly mortgage. Have 30% of the value saved in cash. That's 20% for the down payment and 10% for the reserves.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you could avoid PMI, certainly putting 20% down. I always say just put as much down as you can.
Right.
So I think that's a good rule.
And then the last rule, that three rule, is the purchase price of the home should not exceed 3 times your annual gross household income.
Hmm.
I think that's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Interesting. Just doing.
Yeah, I was doing the math in my head.
Doing math in my head. Yeah,
but I think that's great. I think sometimes, I think that's probably a really good rule of thumb sometimes because there are lenders that approve clients that we've had for an exceedingly high amount of money. That sometimes it is scary because they're kind of like, okay, you know, I mean. You know, they're just like, I'm approved for $800,000. I don't want an $800,000 home. I would like something in this range. What can I get? Or at least I'd like to see, does this meet all or check all my boxes, you know, in the $500,000 range, even though I can afford this $800,000? Because I always tell people this, even though you're pre-approved for, let's say, $400,000, $300,000, let's look. There are some great $200,000 homes. Or some great $280,000.
I'm looking at one tomorrow.
Right. So to me, let's not rule anything out. Like one client, she went and saw a very small house while I was out of town with Melissa. Thank you, Melissa, for doing the showings for me. Amazing. And then she wanted to see an even smaller house. I texted and said, I'm looking up everything on this house because I was still on the other part of book. I did all the bookings. Mm-hmm. I did everything, got everything arranged for them. I looked at everything and I said, this house is actually smaller than the one you just saw. Are you sure you want to go see it? And she said, yes, that's the one we're buying. The way it was arranged, the layout was different. The bedrooms were bigger. It checked all the boxes. A, it was in newer. It was in better shape than the other one she saw. But it, the way they set up this house made it feel bigger, made it feel more open, airier. The rooms just felt bigger. I think the kids hang out in their rooms more, do more in the rooms. So she just wanted a larger bedroom for her kids. The living room is set up. It's an open bedroom concept, or I'm sorry, open bedroom, open living room, kitchen concept. So it feels very light and airy. And that it checked all the boxes. So again, it just really depends. But, and she's saving money. It's cheaper than the other house.
Can I take a minute at the beginning or end of each show to promote our Facebook page and what our topics are?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I failed to post one today, but yesterday was, do you really need a home inspection? The one before that was, ever wonder why mortgage rates aren't changing with oil, oil prices going down? Who pays closing costs? Do you know the difference?
We should talk about that. Who pays closing
costs? Do you know the difference between being pre-approved and pre-qualified? But they're all educational.
Yeah.
It says AI on it because I have ChatGPT help me break it down, but I put actually a lot of thought and time and work into it. So the most popular one was about a week ago, and it was on what's the biggest housing story of 2026 so far, and it got five times the views that of any other piece we put out there. So go check it out. Fairbanks, it's Alaska Realty Day, same as the show. Yep. Tons, all educational. Good stuff. Go take a look. Nerd out with us.
Nerd out. All right. Have a great Saturday. Stay tuned for Behind the Mission. And I think that's all we got.
Take care. Enjoy your Saturday.
Okay, bye.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.